Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 36 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dave.
Hey, guys.
And we are going to be previewing new comics that are coming out the week of September 10th, 2014, and we'll be talking about some recent stuff that we've been reading as well. So, Dave, right off the bat, did you buy any of the Future's End books last week?
I did. I bought the Earth 2 Future's End. I wasn't too pleased with it.
Really? I did not get around to buying it yet. I avoided the comic book store last... Oh, that's not even true. I didn't avoid the comic book store. I went into the comic book store last week and successfully did not get lured into buying any of the 3D covers. I did notice, though, that apparently 5 years in the future, everybody becomes like half a robot.
Yeah. That seems to be the deal. I was completely lost when I read Earth 2 Future's End, and it seems like it tied really tightly into Future's End, and I don't know how much of the other comics do, but, you know, along with our chat last week about, you know, not buying new comics. You were talking about that until you read your old ones.
Right.
And, you know, I had been doing this thing with all the DC books and waiting till they were, you know, on sale to buy them, like the 2 months they dropped their price to $2.99 or $1.99. And I hadn't been doing that with Earth 2 because I really liked Earth 2. And now I'm not, like, huge into Earth 2. Like, I mean, I still like it, but like right. I'm not like excited to read it every week.
Yeah, but this is a shame because you are the owner of an Earth 2 fan site.
I know, which I haven't updated. I mean, that's partially due to a new job, getting married, and a new house. But I'm also like not, you know, too thrilled with the series either. Like, you know, it's okay, and you know, I'm interested in this weekly series, but, you know, that it's going to run alongside this at the same time. And I'm like, I can't justify buying, you know, $2.99 every week for a weekly series in addition to the, you know, $2.99 a month for the Earth 2 comic. Mm. I was like, you know, I'll just hold off and read as it goes. So, I mean, yeah, it's a bummer, but, you know.
Yeah, that is a bummer. Yeah, I did not buy the Earth 2 issue. I actually didn't buy any of the issues that came out this week. But that does stink because I was looking forward to Earth 2. That was in my Comixology cart, but I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're reading Earth 2 or not Earth 2, Future's End, I think you would get it. Like.
Okay.
There are things that tied into Earth 2 that I kind of got, but it just felt like I missed this, like, several issues.
All right. And you are not caught up on Future's End, but you are reading Future's End, right? Or you're just not reading it?
Right. I've read, like, you know, maybe 5 issues, and, you know, I plan on reading it, but, you know, it's not, like, top of the list, you know?
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's look at some books coming out this week, and then we'll dive into some more stuff that we read last week.
Sounds good.
So I'm looking at DC. We've got Batgirl Futures End, where Batgirl becomes a cross between Batman and Bane, the Bette Noir. That's written by Gail Simoe, art by Javier Garon. I don't know. But probably the most exciting 5 years later book is the Scott Snyder written Batman Futures End, which is coming out this week. No art by Greg Capullo. We got Ray Fox, we got Akko or Akko on art.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, so we got Justice League United Futures End coming out, which is going to, I believe, the solicit makes it sound like the Martian Manhunter has been planning something in the New 52 since even before we've borne witness to the New 52, and that's
right.
All be revealed in this issue.
But yeah.
More importantly, will there be a Canada cover? If so, I will buy it.
Man, maybe this will break the streak. Who knows? But I do know this will be concluded, I think, in next week's Justice League Futures End. That Jeff Lemire is writing. And I do think that they played it that Martian Manhunter is like turns out to be a bad guy in this or something. That's what the solicit reads anyway, right. Which is kind of a bummer. I always feel like that's like an easy way to go with the Martian Manhunter.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you on that. My favorite iteration of Martian Manhunter was the Oreo eating Zen Master Martian Manhunter of the Giffen to Mattis Justice League era.
Yeah, he really was fun. I even liked him when they took him into Justice League Task Force, and then initially he was like the head guy there who like sent people on missions.
Right.
And then it became like a group of younger heroes that he trained, and he became like a father figure, which he was kind of previously somewhat established with Gypsy, but they also did that with the Ray and Mystique and Triumph. And if you were wondering, it was spelled M-Y-S.
I had no doubt in my mind that it was. Sorry, I just banged my elbow into something. I had no doubt in my mind that Mystique would be spelled with a Y and a K at the end.
Right.
And with no doubt, Justice League Task Force, you know, was definitely a mid-90s comic.
Yeah.
I think I didn't buy it because it was like even too 90s for me in the 90s.
It was actually a good read. It was all by Christopher Priest.
Okay. I loved his run on Black Panther.
Yeah.
He's somebody who seems to have just disappeared off the face of the earth.
I believe he's writing something right now, but I just don't know what it is.
I was a big fan of his series Quantum and Woody for Valiant Acclaim.
You know what? I think he's still writing that.
Oh, really?
He's writing the relaunch of it.
Oh, okay. I thought that like Greg Pak or somebody was writing the relaunch, but
I'm pretty sure he's writing that.
Okay.
Also of note, Superman Unchained number 8 is coming out, and I believe that might be the last issue of that series.
I believe you're right.
With Scott Snyder and Jim Lee, I kind of fell off this series just because it, you know, started slowly coming out, and I was enjoying it, and I liked the villain that Scott Snyder was setting up, but. Yeah, you know, just fell off of it.
Yeah, I fell off the series pretty early on. It just didn't hold my attention the way I hoped it would. And considering the talent involved, I thought like I would be really into it.
Yeah, Jim Lee's hit or miss for me.
I get that. Yeah, I think it's just that being such a fan of him in the 90s, like when I was in high school, of his run on Uncanny X-Men, that it's... Anytime he does something, I feel almost like a need to check it out.
Right. I mean, I thought his Hush work was good, and, you know, his Superman with Azzarello was decent, but, like, I don't know if he was the best choice for the relaunch of Justice League.
Yeah, I thought his covers were great, but the interiors, it's funny. I thought the animated feature Justice League War was better than the first 6 issues that the movie was based on.
Right. I mean, I said this before on the podcast. When I reread those first 6 issues or however many there were, they did read a lot better without all the drama behind the... What is this? What's going on here? Why is this like this? Why is it, you know, like if you just write it for a story that it was, it's really a good story.
Right.
And like I do encourage people to go back and, you know, take a look at that because it is really, you know, a fun read. And I think you'd enjoy it more now that you're, you know, 3 years out from, you know, when all that drama, quote, was going on, you know.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it enough to buy a page of original art from issue 5 of Justice League. So I'm not hating on it. But part of that was also that I'm just such a Jim Lee fanboy that I was like, ooh, I can afford this. I can afford, this money will leave my bank account right now. So I'm jumping down to Marvel for a second, and two of my favorite Marvel books have new issues this week, and that's Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye. And we're nearing the end of Matt Fraction and David Aja's run on Hawkeye.
Yeah, maybe it'll finish like 3 years from now, the way that they are putting out books.
That's a good point, because I do not remember when 19 came out. 20 is out this week. I'm going to have to go back and reread this entire arc, I think. Yeah, I think this is like part four of this arc, and I vaguely remember what's going on. And what's weird is that this was, and it's funny, on Midtown Comics website says David Aja's the artist, but it's actually Annie Wu, because Annie Wu does the Kate Hawkeye issues. So with David Aja doing the Clint Hawkeye and Annie Wu doing the Kate Hawkeye, you'd think these books would have been out much faster, but instead we had the opposite happen. Yeah, and I believe that the next issue, 21, might be the final issue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the issues that I've read from this Hawkeye series. I think I read, like, you know, close to half of it, if not more.
Okay. Yeah, this is one book that I jumped on when it started, and just on a whim to check it out, because I thought the design of the cover was so cool. And I think the guy at my local comic book store, my friend Chris, who you met, who works the image booth at New York Comic Con, he was like, you have to read this. And I'm glad he recommended it, because it was still my currently favorite published Marvel comic.
Yeah. Ms. Marvel's great, too.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm really excited for this issue with Lockjaw coming in. As her, I guess he's training her to be an Inhuman.
Yeah. I love when writers use Lockjaw not just as a teleportation device.
Right.
They usually have a lot of fun with him.
So I'm pretty excited about that. And I don't know where Ms. Marvel falls in the sales numbers, but I hope it continues. It's been a lot of fun.
I don't know what the print numbers are like, but it Ms. Marvel number one, I believe, is Marvel's best-selling digital comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Or, I don't know if it's the first issue is their best-selling digital comic, or if the series has become their best-selling digital comic. But yeah, digitally, it's doing very, very well. Wow. I don't know. I believe that usually digital numbers and the print numbers correspond with each other, but it might be different in this case. I'm not sure. Yeah, and we have a new issue of Nightcrawler by Chris Claremont and Todd Knock. And the thing about every time there's a new issue of Nightcrawler, make sure you're following Todd Knock's Twitter feed, because he raffles off a sketch to help promote each issue. And all you have to do is retweet his sketch tweet, and you get entered in. And you might be the lucky winner of a Nightcrawler sketch.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
At a convention like that, the sketches he raffles off probably would cost about $180 from him at a convention. So definitely worth a retweet.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around this week.
Oh, also Fantastic Four number 10 comes out this week.
But no Invaders? Don't they usually do like all James Robinson in 1 week?
I think Fantastic Four is on a bi-monthly schedule, or bi-weekly.
Right.
And Invaders comes out just once a month.
Okay. So I see the wizard on the cover, and is that Princess Python? Who's that with the snake arms? Anaconda?
I
remember that villain, not with green skin, but I remember her from Captain America.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to see this is kind of coming to the conclusion of the fall of the Fantastic Four, which he's leading into the rise of the Fantastic Four after that. I think you're going to see who's behind all this, you know, stuff that's happening, you know, all these series of events that has taken down the Fantastic Four, which has seemed, you know, very, like, you know, one thing here, one thing there. They don't seem connected, but I think James Robinson's going to pull it all together and show like a mastermind behind all of this.
That's cool. And I feel like this book is kind of like the Geoff Johns Justice League book right now, in that there's a lot of behind the scenes hubbub that it is getting in the way of the story, because people are wondering if Marvel is intentionally going to cancel the Fantastic Four or scuttle the Fantastic Four just as part of this political game against Fox to get the film rights back.
Right, but if anyone's seen the solicitations 3 months out, they'll see Fantastic Four is back in their blue uniforms. And, you know, it's not too much of a spoiler. James Robinson had, you know, previously said that, you know, this is going to be their worst time, but it's only because it's going to be, like, you know, going to reveal their best time after that.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, good dramatic writing requires characters to suffer.
Yeah.
And you don't like to see your favorite heroes suffer, but these comics would be really boring if they didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't know if you read, I did not, but if you read Shadow and Grendel last week?
I thumbed through it in Midtown Comics when I was there last week, and it looks gorgeous, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
Well, I believe it, I saw it on Comixology too, so I think it's offered by both Dynamite and Dark Horse.
I did see that on the back cover of the book, is that Dynamite was co-producing it. So that's cool that you could get it in Comixology's app, and you don't have to use Dark Horse's app, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I'm not too big of a fan of it either. But I was saying that Matt Wagner, I believe, was writing The Shadow, and he is writing The Shadow Year One, up to number 10 already, and out this week. So if you guys like that book, if you picked it up last week, there is more Matt Wagner Shadow where you could get on a monthly basis.
Wow, that's a good tip. Now, before the podcast started, I was mentioning to Dave that I was thinking about jumping on this Comixology sale that's going on right now for Stumptown, because I'd never read it. And now I understand why there's a Stumptown sale going on. Stumptown Volume 3, number 1, is out this week.
Wow.
Yeah, from Oni Press, written by Greg Rucka, of course, taking place in Portland, a.k.a. Stumptown. But yeah, I've never read Stumptown. I have friends who don't read comics who read Stumptown and loved it. So I really do want to check it out. It looks like a really cool series.
Yeah, I'm thinking about picking this up because I am a big Greg Rucka fan.
Yeah, that's true.
They also have some great Queen and Country trade paperbacks on sale for super cheap. I think they're like $2.99 or something.
Yeah, I never read Queen and Country.
Oh, that first trade is great.
Really?
I wasn't too big of a fan of the art in the second trade, but the first trade I think was like awesome. But the whole series is pretty great, and he writes he'll also write novels with those characters too, so you could kind of, you know, get different stories and different mediums with that.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm definitely gonna be buying Queen and Country Volume 1 in Stumptown Volume 1, though I feel like this goes against what I said last week about buying more comics. Can't win. I did buy one comic in the store last week, and that was Giant Size Kung Fu Bible Stories.
Oh, how was it?
I only read the first story in it so far, which is the Bruce Timm story.
Yeah.
And that story alone, to me, was worth the $20 I paid for this book. But the art's oversized. It's not as big as, like, a Treasury edition that I remember from my youth. It's more magazine size, like, you know, old style Rolling Stone sized.
Right.
So, you know, oversized definitely for a graphic novel, but it's not particularly thick. It's got a lot of pages, but it's not, you know, square bound at all. It's just staple bound, so it's not overwhelmingly thick. But the Bruce Timm story was basically about these characters who were pretty much based, female versions of Submariner, the Human Torch, and Captain America, finding themselves in the middle of a crisis of infinite Earth-like situation where the heroes of the DC universe is and the heroes of the Marvel universes were battling each other. And then characters from other universes started coming in too. So it was a big parody of company-wide crossovers, of Crisis of Infinite Earths and DC versus Marvel.
So was it like a little bit of a holdover for some more Multiversity?
Yeah, actually it was. It felt like a great read after reading Multiversity number one. And what was great was there was a joke that involved a cameo appearance by the Spectre and the old man from Kingdom Come. Norman, was that his name? Nathan?
Yeah.
I think it was Norman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the two of them make a quick cameo appearance just for the sake of one fast joke. Everyone else, you know, is drawn differently, but you could figure out, like, who's who. Those two are definitely those two characters.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it was kind of like Multiversity in that it had Image characters that were thinly veiled, kind of like Dinosaur Cop in Multiversity number one.
And Spore.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I wanted to say when we were talking about getting a Multiversity fix, I just wanted to recommend the Vibe trades to people.
Yeah, okay.
Because Jeff Johns started writing it, then handed it over to Sterling Gates. Great read, the whole series. And it's all about how the multiverse works. And you see a bunch of characters who appear in the Hall of Heroes or where the Ori of Worlds is in Multiversity.
Really?
You see a bunch of those guys escape from a Cadmus holding cell of people all from different dimensions or Earths. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are definitely from the Earths that are made up in the map that Grant Morrison made. So I feel like Sterling Gates had the inside track of what was going to be coming. So if anybody wants to get a Multiverse fix and a really good read, check out it's Justice League of America's Vibe.
That's a good tip. And that's available on Comixology. The first issue is only 99 cents, and then the whole series is only 10 issues long, and the rest of the issues run only $1.99.
Right, right. And it's got great art by Pete Woods.
Okay, nice. That's cool. That's a little Easter egg. Because that series was out a while ago. You know, this wasn't a book that just recently came out leading into Multiversity.
Right, and I think when they were launching it, they launched it as a companion series to Justice League of America, and I think Jeff Johns kind of was hoping that it would run until what we're gonna see another crisis at the end of this year when Multiversity ends and all these weekly series ends. I think we're gonna see it culminate into a crisis, and we're gonna see, you know, maybe some Darkseid, maybe some Anti-Monitor, and I feel like Vibe's gonna be center stage in that series.
Okay, yeah, I definitely agree with you on the crisis. And yeah, the way they've set up Vibe's powers, he's not just like Richter from X-Force anymore.
Well, yeah, they use how the multiverse is set up in the DC universe. It's all vibrational frequencies.
Right.
It was set up way back in that first Flash series where the Barry Allen and Jay Garrick met. And
yeah,
so, because Vibe is all about vibrations, you know, Jeff Johns kind of elevated that character to be like, oh, you could jump worlds, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody did that sooner.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Jeff Johns is great at looking at, like wiping away the stuff that was, you know, cool at the time, or, like, maybe somebody thought this was cool, but it was just kind of like, you know, like, oh man, that was so 70s, or, you know,
right.
Like, they didn't even know that that was racist when they were doing it, you know, that kind of thing, and just going, this is what's cool about the character. There was a nugget of goodness in there, and I brought that nugget out and shined it up.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe bedazzled it a little bit.
And brought in my friend Jim Lee to give him a V-neck collar.
Yeah. So, speaking of multiversity, I don't know if you got my link I sent you, but apparently there was a hero named Ultra who was on Earth Prime or the
Human. I did
see
that. I was always under the impression, going back to when I was a kid, that Superboy Prime was the only hero of Earth Prime, and Ultra actually predates him.
Right, and it's Ultra with a double A at the end.
Yeah, just like in the Multiversity.
Right, and so there's only a couple issues with him in it. Mm-hmm. But that's probably where, you know, Grant Morrison is mining that idea from. However, I wouldn't throw out that JMS in there, and I wouldn't throw out Ultra the multi-alien, because as we've seen in the series, Grant Morrison has been smashing heroes together and creating new ones. So, you know, I wouldn't figure it for like a straight-on take, but that's a really a cool thing to look up. Ultraman, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. In the mail today, I got a package, and I was like, I don't remember ordering anything. But it turned out I had bought the Humans, I mean, which is coming soon to Image Comics. But the number zero issue was self-published by Keenan Marshall Keller and Tom Neely off their website. So I decided to jump on it. It looks pretty cool, like a Planet of the Apes meets biker gangs.
I know what you're talking about.
And they also had an offer with it. You could just buy the comic if you wanted, or you could also get a 45 record, which was the soundtrack to the comic.
Oh, and that's awesome.
I was like, you know what? This is, I think altogether it was $12 for the comic and the record. And I was like, I got to check this out. So it's got, I think, it's a 7-inch record, not a 45. I don't know how many songs it has. It looks like it's two. So, yeah. So it is a 45. I'm sorry. It might be that 45 and a 7-inch are the same thing. And that crossover audience of comic book fans and record aficionados are going to write angry letters to me now.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. This isn't a 45. It's a 7-inch. Shut up, Billy. You're an idiot. So that's that. I think I actually will put the record on my record player as I listen to the comic.
Nice.
Yeah.
You mean read the comic?
Yes. Did I say listen to the comic?
Yeah, as you listen to the comic.
I listen with my eyes.
Big news. Not big news. Big news! I finished American Vampire.
Whoa! Like all five or whatever trade paperbacks?
Yeah, and all the specials. I didn't read this new series that was just launched this year, but I read everything else, and it was great. I loved it.
That's cool. You're ahead of me, because I only made it through the first three trades. I know my library has the rest of them, so I'm looking forward to reading them.
Yeah, this would make a great television series, and I love how each story arc jumps a decade or 5 years, and then it's almost like they put... You know, he puts vampires in another setting. And so it reminds me of somewhat of American Horror Story, where it's, you know, each season is, you know, a different cast. It's an anthology show, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's that's almost like Tales from the Crypt, but by season, you know, just a different horror story each season. And this is like a nice in between. You know, your regular series and an anthology series, where, you know, each story arc is, you know, takes place in its own setting and has its own feel, and sometimes has its own characters, but they're all in the same world. And I mean, I don't know why this is not on an AMC, an HBO, Showtime, FX, you name it. I don't know why it's not on there.
Yeah,
Netflix, I don't know.
I remember it being in development somewhere. I don't know, the status of it, but I'm pretty sure somebody is developing it for TV.
Yeah, well, it would be a great, fall show,
Yeah, well, HBO is losing True Blood then, right? As well, keep their vampire fans happy and do an American Vampire show.
Yeah, definitely.
Hear that, HBO? We got good ideas for you.
HBO does not hear that.
Damn it. Why aren't you listening, HBO?
And keeping in the Stephen King vein, I started with Lock and Key, which is written by Stephen King's son.
Oh, really?
Yes, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh. Is Hill his mother's maiden name, or did he just not want to be compared to his dad?
Maybe he just didn't want to be compared to his dad in the what do you call those when you the dedications.
Yeah.
I believe it's his mom
Like,
who he dedicates the book to, the first
okay.
book anyway. So,
Interesting.
and her last name is King, so I don't know where Hill comes from, if it's just a pseudonym,
Just
but
sounds cool.
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where I heard that, but then I confirmed that somewhere. I was like, is this true? And it was
Huh.
true.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Wow. Learn something new every podcast, people.
Yeah. There's your bit of information.
Yeah, that's my atom bomb of knowledge.
Taking it back.
Yeah, that's a reference to Dave's old podcast, The Great Animated Rewatch, which should still be available on iTunes, right?
Yeah, the like four episodes.
Yeah. I'm on one of them, and
Yeah.
it's a great podcast. If anybody is a fan of Batman the Animated Series, I definitely recommend checking that out on iTunes.
Yeah, you'll be sorry, disappointed after like four episodes when we don't do anything else. But it was much harder to get me and Adam together than it is to get me and Billy together.
Which is amazing because we live much further away than you and Adam do.
This is true. This is true. But
Yeah, and after you check out all the episodes of that podcast, be sure to tweet at Dave and tell him you want more episodes.
yeah, you could do that. I don't know if I have time for that, but
You're like, I don't know if I'd respond to those tweets.
I'd like the praise, you could throw it out,
Yeah. What's your Twitter handle? Why is it not coming up when I search for you?
Dave Tomko.
Yeah, I just typed in Dave Tomko. Oh yeah, there it is. So yeah, at Dave Tomko, everyone.
Yeah, Tomko.
Yeah, and say, damn, that was a good podcast, Dave. We want more.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even go tell Adam Jarrett that too. He's Adam S. Jarrett, JARRETT.
Yeah.
And since he doesn't, I don't know if he listens to this podcast, he might be very surprised to get tweets
They'll be like, what the hell? We're
about
getting a resurgence here, Dave.
that. Dave, you have to just play dumb if he says anything like that.
I have no idea where that came from.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's
Yeah. So if comic fans are in New York this week, they're going to be listening to this podcast on Tuesday, hopefully, or Wednesday morning. Wednesday evening, New York Comic Con is having an event at Brooklyn Brewery. You do have to be 21 to get in, but free beer all night and a New York Comic Con Brooklyn Brewery pint glass designed by Amy Reeder.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I went to this last
And
year.
remember, comic fans, free beer all night does not mean you have to drink all the beer all night.
Yeah, and if you're dressed at bat as Batman, please do not puke on my wife.
True story.
Yeah. And New York Comic Con also has added a whole bunch of new comic guests today, I believe. So people should head over to their website and check that out. It's funny, I was talking to somebody this weekend asking if they had gotten New York Comic Con tickets, and he said he didn't, but part of the reason was that he was waiting to see who all the guests were. He wasn't happy that, they didn't announce everybody. And I'm like, the lineup is always awesome. You have to buy tickets as soon as they come out. But he also said he tried and, they sold out like in an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Dave and I are going.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I was looking at eBay recently. The price of tickets is insane on there right now.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
crazy.
3-day tickets are going for about 3 times the amount of their retail price.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So, any fun comics news this week? Anything jump out at you in any of the fan sites?
Not really, other than like just the rumors about, a crisis coming. I think I read that Greg Capullo might be leaving Batman.
Yeah, there was he had tweeted something that he was on at least through issue 50, and people took that to mean that he was leaving at issue 50. So he and Scott both tweeted that they are definitely staying on for at least issue 50 and, might stay longer.
Oh, that's
But
cool.
yeah, originally I remember this happening. They were both saying they were like on the book through issue 18. And like I think originally Death of the Family was going to be there like through that, and then possibly they would have left, but then
Wow.
they just kept coming up with more Batman stories.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened to Grant Morrison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he was only going to write Batman and Son and then like maybe one other arc, and then he was writing Batman for like almost a decade.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Because even after RIP, then there was, the Dick Grayson Batman and how Bruce Wayne returned and Batman Inc.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had Batman and Robin, Batman Inc., and then, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote Batman longer than he wrote Justice League.
This is true. This is very true.
Another Adam Bomb of knowledge for you people.
Yeah.
Oh,
Hear that, Adam? Adam hears that as much as HBO does.
wow.
Wow.
Crickets, crickets. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of this episode then.
Yeah, I think so.
And hopefully, Adam Jarrett, if you're listening, let us know. HBO, same goes with you.
Yeah, maybe should tag him in this.
Tag who, Adam Jarrett or
Yeah,
HBO?
tag him in like the Twitter post. Be like, Adam, we shout out to Adam Jarrett in this podcast.
Big shout out to at Adam S. Jarrett and at
Yeah.
HBO in this episode. You guys are on notice.
You better
Oh,
respond. Neither of
yeah.
them will.
Yeah. You better mention us in your podcasts.
Adam and HBO have a podcast now.
Yeah. It's called Tuesday Night Adam.
Yeah, or the great
The great HBO, the great home box office rewatch.
yeah.
This episode is devolving by the minute.
Everyone's turned off.
Yeah. So since everyone has turned off the podcast, I'm going to make one final recommendation for anyone who's stuck around this far. Marvel is producing a 3D motion cover this week. If you buy the new issue of Daredevil, there's a variant cover that's in 3D. And it will only cost you about $70.
Money well spent.
Yeah. You have us to thank. All right, everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.